Hello again out there in Birdland. It's Hanson Tebbets along with
Chip Darmstadt.
And here we are, post-eclipse. I'm in Vermont, but Chip has been in Texas birding with some some folks. And we'll get to the birding in a moment. But as you probably saw, it was a pretty good day in Vermont. We had a lot of visitors, and the weather was decent. And people, I think, were even... I would say more impressed than they thought. I mean, the buildup was huge, and sometimes there's a huge buildup. You know, the steak sometimes isn't there, but the sizzle was with the steak in Vermont. So, how are things in Texas?
We, you know, the weather has been phenomenal down here. It's funny, the cloudiest day was eclipse day, of course. So we got to enjoy most of the eclipse, but a little too cloudy to see totality. But you know, observed a lot, including it getting dark, of course, which was phenomenal to experience. I kept a good ear out for bird song. Titmouse was still singing, black-breasted titmouse, still singing when it got dark during totality. But the crickets came out. Crickets came out and frogs. There was a surge of frog calls during totality. Some eclipse wildlife phenomena as well. Noticed turkey vultures starting to go to roost, and black vultures as well during the eclipse. So fun to kind of keep an eye on what the wildlife was doing as well.
Boy, wouldn't a nice picture of a turkey vulture going to roost or a black vulture going to roost during the eclipse. I'm sure there's one out there, but man, that would be, that would be kind of frightening. Well, we're looking at some wet weather in Vermont this weekend in the last few days. So what kind of birds are you seeing there?
Well, the birding has been phenomenal. Most of our time it was in the hill country west of Austin. And then after the eclipse, we headed east. So calling right now from High Island, which is on the upper coast. So great birds. Let's see, vermilion flycatcher, just the most amazing flycatcher in the world. We saw some great endemic species, endemic nesters, black-capped vireo, an endangered vireo that's pretty much just in Texas and a little bit of Oklahoma, maybe parts of Mexico, and then the endemic golden-cheeked warbler, another endangered species in Texas. This is a bird that is in the same genus and looks a lot like our black throated green warbler, but found only here in Texas in the hill country. Wonderful to observe that bird. And then yesterday, blown away by a painted bunting, maybe 20 feet away, perfect light, below eye level, feeding on some little grass seeds. We just had maybe 15 minutes of pure joy watching this painted bunting feed. It was great.
And we only occasionally get a painted bunting that's off course, but it has to be one of the most stunning birds out there. And you're only, what'd you say, 20 feet away from it, huh?
Yeah. We were on a boardwalk. Some kind folks from the Pacific Northwest ran over to our van as we were about to leave the state park and said, "There's a painted bunting." We all ran up on this boardwalk en route. It was only maybe 100 feet from the van, but in between the van and the painted bunting was a common nighthawk perched on the railing of the boardwalk. So we were torn. We stopped for the nighthawk, which wasn't going anywhere, of course, or do we go to the painted bunting? Of course, made a beeline for the bunting. I came back to the nighthawk. But yeah, painted bunting, if folks aren't familiar with it, a blue head, red underside, including the throat, and then this crazy green, I don't know how to describe it, as otherworldly green on the back, a red eye ring offsetting the blue. Just beautiful bird.
What's the... What's the habitat like where you're visiting?
Right now, High Island is coastal prairie and marsh. freshwater marsh, saltwater marsh, and then the islands are, quote-unquote islands, are really just higher elevation areas of the coast where trees grow. So live oaks, but the predominant tree. So they're just these little tiny hillocks or hummocks or hammocks, whatever you want to call it, that support trees. But coastal plains, coastal prairies, so lots of open country. Today we're going to visit Anahuac National Wildlife Refuge, which a lot of wetlands and lagoons, ponds. So looking forward to lots of waterfowl.
Chip, coming to us from Texas this weekend on your weekend edition of For the Birds. We have to take a short break, and we'll have more bird chatter right after this. We're back for the birds. Boy, the turkeys, I'm watching turkeys as we broadcast here, Chip. They're really active now, and the toms are really active. Most of the snow is gone on the hill here in Cabot, but a little bit in the woods still. But it's April, waiting for some wildflowers to start blooming. The snowdrops are up in the gardens, but I'm waiting for ramps, waiting for hepaticas, coltsfoot, all that good stuff. It's on its way.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
It's funny. We've had weather ranging from the 40s to maybe 90 here.
Ooh.
And everything's blooming. There's been wonderful wildflowers. Some things have even gone to seed, like the blackberry type plant down here already has fruit. So a lot in bloom. Great weather, the birding. The other big highlight is, and yesterday we went to a rookery, Smith's Woods on High Island. It has an amazing rookery. So roseate spoonbills by the dozen. Great egrets nesting, sporting their nuptial plumes, neotropic cormorants and incas, ibis, tricolored heron. So imagine a big lagoon with trees and shrubs and just dozens of nesting herons. So quite a sight to see. They have an elaborate elevated boardwalk so you can really look down and see all these great nesting herons.
Mm. Big state of Texas. That's where Chip is reporting from on our weekend edition of For the Birds. My big sighting of the week was a brown creeper. I haven't seen a brown creeper in many years, and I got to observe it creeping, starting at the base of the maple tree, working its way all the way to the top and all the way to the down in a spiral. It was kind of fun to see it again. And of course, it's very difficult to get a picture of a brown creeper, but it was just kind of a neat thing. I hadn't seen it in a long time.
It's neat. Yeah, it's funny how that's one of those birds you just hear them much more often than you see them. Hard to spot. You know, well camouflaged, but I think maybe they're so hard to see too because they don't spend much time flitting from tree to tree. They're spending a lot of their time, working one tree and then they move. So not like a chickadee or something that's constantly changing position from tree to tree. So hard to spot. It's a great bird.
And it's one of those that, you see it for a second and then all of a sudden it's 20 feet up the tree. It's kind of like a barber pole, it kind of does that, spiral up the tree. But yeah, and the only thing I could see was its white breast finally showed, so you could see that. Because, it looks like bark if it's right against the tree and not moving.
Yeah, one of the some of the birds we see down here in Texas are have cousins in Vermont. So we've been seeing Carolina chickadee. Looks exactly like a black-capped chickadee, but sounds different. Black-crested titmouse down here. So, we have our tufted titmouse at home. Imagine the crest of that titmouse at home, all black, and that's what we're seeing down here. So lots of close relatives and birds that will be on their way or arriving in Vermont soon. So black-burning warbler, black-throated green warbler, palm warbler. They're on their way. They're here and they're coming.
Sounds good. All right. Well, safe travels. Enjoy the rest of the birding trip, and we'll We'll see you back in Vermont shortly. That's going to do it for this weekend edition of For the Birds. I'm Anson Tebbets.
I'm Chip Darmstadt.
For the Birds.